On Wednesday nights, we're taking up this thought of what Brother Peter closes out his second epistle with in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Understand that glorifying of our Lord is, it's not a call for somebody else to glorify Him. May we glorify Him. Amen. May we glorify our Lord, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. That's the Lord's design, His expectation for His children. And Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Have you arrived as a child of God? If you believe you've arrived, then you need to press on with more Bible study and prayer unto your Lord. Hearing from your Lord and speaking to your Lord. Because we will never arrive. Maybe we've been blessed and have been given a lot of things. Tell you what, those things need renewed because I forget them. I imagine that you're about the same. You forget them too. And so we need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. A sobering thought. This time last year, September, what is today, the 20th? September 2016. Where were you last year? Where were you? And I'm talking about relative to the Lord, your knowledge of the Lord, your understanding of the Word of God, taking the Word of God and applying it to your life. Where were you then? Where are you now? Is there a difference? Needs to be. Needs to be growth. And we always need that continual introspection, considering and looking at self, asking our Lord to help us with the things that we need. The fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against them. There's no fulfillment of the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. And, of course, we need to continue to add to our faith, as our brother tells us earlier on in this same epistle. So our thought for this Wednesday and coming Wednesdays is our daily walk with our Lord. Daily walk. What is the daily walk comprised of? Well, you know, we have a relationship with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, our relationship is not to a religion. It's to a person. Our relationship, well, we understand about the church, and we do have a relationship with the church, don't we? Because when we speak about the church, we're not talking about the building and the property. We're talking about one another. And so you do have a relationship. We do have a relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're talking about in our daily walk as a child of God. What makes that up? What's the composition of a daily walk with the Lord? Well, I tell you what, it's simply this. I think we can look at it in a basic sense, in three parts. We need to hear our Lord speaking to us. And of course, we do that in worship services, and we do that by our own personal consumption of the Word of God. And that's what we need to do, is we need to consume the Word of God. Not just know about it, but like we take in food and it helps our physical bodies, we need to consume the Word of God and it help our spiritual life, our spiritual, the new man. So we hear the Lord speaking to us, and then we have prayer, right? We speak to God, don't we? We've been bid by the Lord. He tells us to come to Him with what's going on? Do you call anybody on the phone or maybe email or text someone, an instant message on Facebook and tell them what's going on or ask them questions? Seek counsel of different folks. And I tell you what, the Lord Jesus, our Lord, our Heavenly Father, needs to be first on the list that we go to. And so we hear from our Lord. We speak to our Lord. We consume the Word of God. And so those three facets are there. Our communication with the Lord, it's two-way. And may we hear Him, may we not ask by necessity, but then not hear Him. Oh, for the child of God to ask and not receive, look out, be warned. So we have this communication with the Lord, and then we have the consuming of His Word. And of course, by the Word of God, He does speak to us. We have our walk and our witness, don't we? It's very much a part of life. How we treat God, we see in the commandments, and how we treat one another. And then we've got all those aspects of our life, and that our own character is tied with this. How we have been, the old man has been mortified by the word of God and the way the Lord, he wants us to operate in our conversation, what we think, what we say, and what we do, right? And so that's impacted. Are you happy? Are you and I happy with the way that we are? Are you happy with your person and the way that you operate? Have you arrived in that? We haven't. We haven't. We need yet to change as the children of God. We do. Because the thing is, this old man is always here on our back. And so we've not arrived, not even in our character, Christian character. And so we need a daily walk with our Lord. In consideration of that, we're going to touch on a couple things that Brother John picked up from our Lord. And of course, the Lord inspired him to write. I believe our brother indeed was convicted by this. I want you to first turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus here, and this is part of that about meditating about the Word of God. Do you realize that when these things happened with the woman at the well at Sychar, that the apostles were down there in Sychar? So how did they find out about this? I mean, is there not a dialogue here? They did. John either got it by inspiration of the Lord, or he got it by the Lord rehearsing it to them. So we need to think about things, don't we? Well, Brother Jim, what's that mean? Well, we need to know it. We need to know. We need to have an understanding of it. If the Lord just told John how it all went, isn't that a manifestation of the power of God to inspire it within John? Indeed, and we can be encouraged. Does this account not help us? I tell you what, if it's in the Bible, it helps us. Or how it was with our Lord teaching his disciples. He rehearsed, if it was this way, that John got this by the rehearsing of it by the Lord Jesus. Well, what'd you all talk about? And he said, well, let me tell you how it went. Because that woman was saved, right? Many of Sychar were saved. And so he told it. And the thing, evidently it made an impact on John, didn't it? Because he, from the human standpoint, he wrote about it. So that a facet of our daily walk is to meditate upon the Word of God. Lord, what does that mean? Lord, show me the details about that. And so here in this account, we jump in here at verse number 20 or verse number 19 in John 4. The woman saith unto him, unto Jesus, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, and ye say that the place that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye know not what. And there's a study that can be found over in 2 Kings, because the Samaritans were all messed up because of what kings centuries ago had done in that land, in that region. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus is a Jew, isn't he? He is of the nation of Israel. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers. So the Lord makes a qualifier there, doesn't he? True worshipers. He says there's worshipers, but the true worshipers, he makes that emphasis. True worshiper. Are you a true worshiper? I tell you what, I want to be a true worshiper, don't you? He said, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The only way we can worship our Lord indeed, to the fullest and to the greatest extent, is by the salvation of the soul. Oh, men unregenerate need to worship the Lord, because he's worthy. He is worthy to be praised and honored. He is our creator for every single one of us. But they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, what God says. That's that reason we need that diet of the Word of God. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. We recently took a look at God is a spirit, verse 24, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's take a look over here in John chapter 8, another account. The Lord here dealing with these folks that are against him and railing against him and such. He's let it be known in this chapter that he is the light of the world. And he warns them in verse 24 of this chapter, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, or I am, ye shall die in your sins." It goes on to say here in verse number 30, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, what has come forth from the mouth of Jesus, the Father, God Almighty, if you continue in my word," you say you've started in it. See, isn't that what faith and repentance is a beginning of going forward in the word, what has been spoken by the Lord. "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." You are my disciples indeed if you continue in that word that you say you've started in. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We emphasized that at camp this past year, and I've misquoted this verse for years to my shame. Not set free, but made free. And there's a difference. So we see here about John. The Lord says the woman at the well of Sychar, and John got that account. He wrote of it. "We must worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And then here in the Lord's dealings with these folks, he says, "Knowledge of the Lord's truth will make us free, will make you free." So in our daily walk, our prayer, our talking to the Lord, our hearing from the Lord in his word, our consumption of the word of God, our taking the word of God and applying it to living life and that of obedience, our meditating upon the word of God and seeking the application and the interconnection of the word of God, it indeed must be based on the truth. And we must be looking for and in search of the Lord's truth. You know what? You won't find the Lord's truth anywhere else but right here. That's the reason this is so needed. You know, we've been compelling folks in the jail, and I need to do so here. I've been doing so at the jail. I've been burdened about that. But I will tell you plainly, I beg those folks, those men and women, to take one of the Bibles that the church is, and the Lord has blessed us in this, to give these Bibles to them, good Bibles that they can read, giant print, and that they might read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ, what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came down to earth and became a man, what he did to save sinners, what he did to save me. If you're here, and save what he did to save you. He says, "Learn of me." Back into this daily walk. Do you know about Jesus? Do you know about your Savior? Do you know more about your Savior than that he saved you and that's it? Or do you know about how he walked, how he lived, who he healed, who he visited, what he preached? Do you know him? It's sad to say that there are many who claim to be saved and say that they're saved. I'm not looking to cast doubt on that, but know very little about their Savior. And if there's anyone that we ought to know about, it's our Lord. He says, "Learn of me," in Matthew 11, doesn't he? And so read, if you're here and you're not saved, I tell you what, as I tell those folks at the jail, don't leave out of this world and this life without reading what Jesus did to save sinners for yourself. Don't reject it because somebody else rejects it. Don't reject it because you think it boring. Don't reject it and steer away from it and just let it lay over there on the shelf. And then pass out of this life finding out that it is all the truth. And from the human standpoint, that you missed it. At least read it for yourself. At least read it for yourself before you leave out of this place. Then that way, at least, you will reject the Lord face out. And I know that's scary to think about, isn't it, Brother Mark? I mean, but that, don't reject the Lord in ignorance. If you're going to reject him, just go ahead and reject him face out, having read what he did to come and save sinners. And so we need the truth of our Lord. In 2 John, the epistle of 2 John, small epistle, and I think maybe in recent times, one of our brethren have touched on either 2 John or 3 John, but I was convicted to go ahead and deal with these. Our daily walk, our feeding on the Word of God, speaking to our Lord, meditating upon his Word, hearing from him, our conversation, all these things rolled up in here, it must be by the truth of the Lord. Listen to what the brother writes. The elder, and he is Brother John a pastor? Well, he's an apostle, which is indeed authority given by the Lord to this man over churches. Yet, he's got a responsibility to be a witness of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his resurrection. But the apostles had some authority that pastors don't necessarily have. And they had a word from God that pastors don't have other than getting it here in this book. Okay, and so he's writing here, and there's a debate about this. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Is he writing to a woman, to a sister in the faith, or is he writing to a church? I think we're going to have some hints here in the scripture that tell us about this. To the elder and to the elect lady and her children, he's writing to a church, whom I love in the truth. Good study to consider in this passage. It's very short, 13 verses, but listen to what is mentioned here. He says, I love whom I love in the truth. You know, that's our love one for another. It's in the truth, isn't it? It's in the truth. The love that we have here for our brothers and sisters and at Olmsted Baptist Church, and it's based upon the truth of God, his salvation, his touch upon us, him saving us and calling us into this body, his body, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. We have love for our brothers and sisters in Christ in other churches too, don't we? And so we hear, and just in this one verse, we've got the emphasis, the double emphasis on the truth. And understand that the truth isn't out here floating around in the ether and we're trying to find it and philosophize and try to find it and conjure it up ourselves. Again, it's right here in this book. Our Lord was using our brother to write down and pin down the truth, even as he was writing to this church. I believe he was writing to a church. Not I only, but also them that have known the truth. Here also, we have this mention of the word love. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? I tell you what, we better. John writes into the first epistle that if we don't love our brothers and sisters unconditionally, the love of the Lord's not in us. And he does warn that if we hate our brothers and sisters, we are in great jeopardy. May we not harbor things. It's the old man that harbors up that thing. You know, in the child of God, we're to be like Christ and Jesus. As he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Brother Stephen, as he was being stoned, he said, don't lay this sin to their charge. That's the attitude we're to have. That's the way that we're to have. He says, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. Do you know the truth? You're only going to know it in his word. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. That's the wonderful thing about the truth. Brother Orville Lawson, he did devotions there and still does at Independence Baptist Church. And the Lord took that man and saved his soul and changed his life. He said you can take the truth and you can stomp on it. You can twist it, fold it, spindle it, and mutilate it. And he didn't say all those words. I've added some of that. And you know what? It's still the truth. It never changes. The truth is the truth. Oh, it can be lied about and ridiculed. But you know what? It's always the truth. It doesn't change. I tell you what, the truth is a good thing to be founded and settled upon, isn't it? He said, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Who establishes truth? God Almighty. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, the great three in one, sets the plummet line of truth. How is it that he says it's in us? Well, the Spirit of God lives within us, doesn't he? He does. He lives within us. And he says we love one another for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Now, brethren can have conflict. Indeed, it's the case. Brethren can have conflict. But the thing is, they'll never have conflict in the truth. Because, you know, if you and I disagree about something in the Bible, you got three things that could be at hand. And we disagree about something. You could be right and I could be wrong. You could be wrong and I could be right, or both of us wrong. But if we line up with the truth of the Lord, it will agree. The truth which dwelleth in us. So now three times mentioning this of truth, and will be with us forever. Why? The Lord lives forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And so our brother was really, he was really hung up on these two things, wasn't he? About the truth and about love. So many times that they are mentioned, well, they're important. See, I think our historically, Brother John, we understand to have lived a very long life. Maybe died even of old age rather than being martyred. We don't know exactly, but that's what we understand historically. He could have been martyred even in an old age. But you know what our brother saw over the decades that he lived? He saw people, as it was there in John chapter 8, seemingly entering into the truth and then departing from it. Seemingly entering into the truth and then going away and swerving. Isn't that a word that Peter used, or Jude uses rather? Swerving away. Taking another course rather than staying on that narrow way that is our Lord Jesus, that is the truth. And so he warns about this. He says, grace and be with you, mercy and peace from God Almighty, the Father and the Son is his emphasis, in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. There were some, if we take this from the standpoint of it being written to a church, the membership, they're walking in truth. They're taking truth, the truth of God's word, and applying it to life. Not just knowing about it, knowing where it's at in their chapter and verse, book, chapter and verse, but taking it and walking in it. Walking in it. Walking in it. Driving in it. Living in it. Right? He said, that brought me great joy. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of the membership there, walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. The Father says we should walk in the truth. That's what we're to do, to walk in the truth. Well, what is the truth? What you and I think? I love my dad, and some would say that my dad and I favor each other. Some would say that that's the case. And I've learned some things from my dad. But you know what? Because I learned things from my dad doesn't necessarily mean that everything I learned from my dad is right. Maybe you've got someone in your family that you highly esteemed and that taught you many things. Does it line up with the truth of the Lord? You know what? If it doesn't line up with the truth of the Lord, we need to reject it. Even if it comes from someone that we dearly love and admire on this earth. We need to walk in the truth of our Lord. As I've been mentioning sometime in the scriptures, when we see that word faith or believing, it's always relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in and believing on and in him. This word truth and this of love is also speaking about the truth of God, the truth of his word. We've received a commandment from the Father to abide and walk in these things. He said, I rejoiced greatly when I found that there were those doing such. And now I beseech thee, verse 5, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. He said, there's nothing new. I'm reaffirming that which we have received. Love one another. How is it that Brother John saw and is conveyed to us in the scriptures how we should love one another? I got in a conversation with somebody here recently about foot washing. I can't remember who it was. Now, we don't hold to the ordinance of foot washing. We don't believe and we don't take from the scriptures that it is an ordinance because of what the Lord said. I tell you what, you and I need to be willing to wash one another's feet. And I tell you what, I don't want you touching my feet and I don't want to touch your feet. But I tell you what, I need to be willing to wash your feet. And when it comes down to it and you need your feet washed, I need to do it. Love. Love from our Lord. Isn't it so about relationships, that instruction that we have in all of our relationships are not just between us and somebody else, but the Lord's involved telling us how we should be. The Lord's involved in all of our relationships telling us how we should be. Parents to children, children to parents, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, as I mentioned. The Lord's in the middle, how we ought to be to our employer, how employers ought to be to those that work for them. The Lord's right in the middle of all our relationships, isn't he? And we, as the children of God, are to love one another. That's the commandment. And this is love. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. In John chapter 14, and it's interesting that we find these hallmark passages in the writing of our brother. Brother John, I think it is with Brother John's, he refers so much to the love of our Lord in his epistles and in his gospel. I think he was so overwhelmed. And this is a roughneck fisherman. This guy is rough and tough, knows how to use a knife, I believe. Remember how the Lord referred to he and his brother? Boanerges, sons of thunder. Their dad's name didn't mean that. Their daddy's name means, if I remember right, a gift. Why did the Lord name these fellows Boanerges, sons of thunder? Because they were loud. They're quick to give you their opinion. And John asked the Lord, said, we found these guys over here doing some stuff and they didn't follow with us, and said, we told them to quit. And the Lord said, don't tell them to quit. Don't tell them to quit. Leave them alone. And said, it was a city, I think it was, that rejected them coming and the Lord coming into that city. And the Lord said, they won't, or John said, I think it was John said, shall we command a fire come down from heaven? He said, I want to do this Elijah thing. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. John also was worked on by the Lord. He was so amazed that the Lord loved him as he did. In John chapter 14, he writes here about what our Lord said in verse 15. I tell you what, mark this verse, know this verse. Our Lord Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You and I can't keep them if we don't know them. You know what? We see them as we learn of our Lord. The Lord says, follow me. Does he not? Does not our Lord Jesus say, be like me? Yeah. It's the Father's work and plan to conform us to the image of his Son. Is it not? And so the Lord's saying, what I do and what I say, that's what you need to do and what you need to say. Not ourselves. In 1 John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 24, let's take a look here. 1 John chapter 2, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 24. And this this struck me interesting in this study. 1 John 2:24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. The truth, right? If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. But if it doesn't continue in us, we won't. We mentioned about those swerving off and what John had seen over the course of the years that he was a servant of the Lord, an apostle of the Lord, after the Lord saved him, called him, the resurrection of our Lord, and all those, the way that the Lord had used he and the other apostles. He says, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, if. There's those that have swerved over to old wives' fables. You know, Timothy was warned about that. We saw that Sunday. You know, there are those that swerve away. They get bored with the Word of God. Get bored with the Word of God. Get bored with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that John heard from the beginning? Was it not? See, we're talking about hearing with the soul, hearing with the heart, right? We're talking about hearing those things spiritual. What's the first thing that you heard that was spiritual? That you're a sinner? That you need a Savior? And that Jesus Christ is the one, right? I mean, isn't that where it starts? He said, hold to that. Hold to that. If it remains, he also will continue in the Son and in the Father. We come back to 2 John in verse number 6. This is love, that you walk after his, Jesus' commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. He said, I will rejoice that there was those that I ran in of the membership there that were walking in truth. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Nah, Jesus didn't come. God the Son didn't come and become a man. It's antichrist. Takes away from the glory of the Lord. Takes away from the purpose and plan of the Lord. The purpose and plan of the Lord from eternity. God and his great knowledge and working and plan and purpose is greater than beyond what you and I can get a hold of. It was always been that the Lord Father was going to send the Son and the Son was going to come. Hard for us to grab a hold of that it's always been that way, but it always has been that way. But there's deceivers that wrestle against that. You know, we here are Church of the Lord, and we meet here in our services and that, and you know what people, when they deny about the authenticity of our ministry and the realness of our purpose here and being sent here, you know that they're railing against the Lord Jesus Christ. Are they not? When they deny what's going on here, when they don't esteem what's going on here, not because you and me and not because you and I are crowded or we're brought to be, you know, thought of in a shameful way. And may we behave ourselves well, because we can bring problems to ourselves, can't we? But you know, when people deny Olmsted Baptist Church as being real or being appropriate or being right or being authentic, it's the Lord that they deny. It's the Lord that they deny, and may we understand that. For many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. Olmsted Baptist Church is a testimony that God, the Son, has come and became a man. Because that's what we hold forth, isn't it? That's what we're to be holding forth, is that God came and became a man and is a man and gave himself on the cross of Calvary that sinners like you and me can be saved. Who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. There are those that also wrangle. They admit to Jesus, but they deny his deity, that he is God. Now, he's not a God. He is I am. Amen? He is the great I am, come in the flesh. But there are those that wrangle against that. They know that they've got to deal with Jesus to an extent, but they don't want to deal with him as God. You know what the truth is? That Jesus is God. All those that deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse number 8, look to yourselves. You know, we don't have to go out and investigate and learn all the details of the deceivers. You know how we'll be able to deal with them? By knowing the truth. We can't debate with them within the realm or the sphere of the doctrine that they hold to. We need to bring what thus saith the Lord. It's the Lord's word that will fight and stand against that. We don't have to learn about them. You know what? We've got enough to do learning about our infinite Lord, don't we? He's infinite. Will we ever arrive in the knowledge and grace of our Lord? Not in this life. Not in this life. So we got plenty, not to study about them, not to study about the doctrines of Antichrist, but we've got plenty to study about our Lord. And I tell you what, he is a wonderful, wonderful subject. Feed on his word. Pray to your Lord. Listen to him through his word. And walk in love and in truth as he has commandment. Brother Jim, how do I do it? I tell you what, get into that book. Get into that book. And again, if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to those gospels. Don't leave out of this life without having read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John seriously for yourself. Don't take somebody else's opinion. I give this example. If I would tell you, and just in an honest and right way, if I would tell you, give me $5,000 and I'll take and I'll multiply your money, would you just hand over $5,000 to me on my word? No. No one would do so. Folks at the jail, fellows at the jail joke around saying that they would, but no, if you have 5,000 cash in your hand, you wouldn't give it to me, knowing me as well as you do. Because what would you do? You would inquire. How? When? How much? You would ask. But you know how it is with people, and men, women, boys, and girls, and their souls? They take that of their souls and they just chalk it up to a nuisance, or to an inconvenient thing to deal with, or the word of another. They don't ask questions and find out for themselves. Value $5,000 more than their own soul. I tell you what, if you're here and you're living, and if you're here and you're living, you've got a soul, best you inquire about it and find out what the truth is, so at least you can leave out of this life with your eyes wide open, knowing what the truth is. But we pray the Lord will save. Amen.